The holidays are upon us. Family, food, there's just no better time in the year to eat those pies and blow all concerns about our calorie intake into the wind. Because, of course, it's a time to celebrate and for once not worry. But there is an underlying issue that the holidays can mask, which is just how much we all, to some degree, are addicted to sugar. Not because anything is wrong with us, but simply because sugar is addictive. Hooked on Sweet, Beating Sugar Addiction Now. That's our topic here today in this hour of An Organic Conversation, your show on everything that makes life worth living. I'm Helge Hellberg. The average American consumes about 150 pounds of refined sugar a year. 150 pounds of refined sugar. That's almost half a pound of refined sugar each day. I know, many of us in this moment will say, well, that's not me, but statistically, that would mean that someone else is eating your share. Whatever exactly our sugar intake may be, we all love sugar. And refined sugar is in everything, not just in sugary drinks, but even in our cut meats, in our bread, in most everything else. It's there for two reasons. It makes things taste better, and it gets us hooked, because sugar is addictive. Today we're talking with an expert on sugar, a doctor who has made unhooking us from sugar his life's career. Hooked on Sweet, Beating Sugar Addiction Now. That's our focus in this hour of An Organic Conversation. All that and more is coming up in just a minute. I'm Helge Hellberg, and this show is brought to you by Batiste Rum, the first eco-positive rum off the Caribbean. Ask for Batiste Rum at Trader Joe's and Whole Foods and other fine retailers. More information, batisterum.com. That's batisterum.com. And thank you also to Earl's Organic Produce, a national distributor of organic fruits and vegetables that has been sourcing solely organic produce for over 20 years. From grocery store to company cafeteria to caterers and personal chefs, anyone can buy from Earl's Organic. Certified organic produce at earlsorganic.com. Hooked on Sweet, Beating Sugar Addiction Now. That's our focus in this hour of An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg. All that and more is coming up in just a minute. Stay tuned. And we are back here to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg. Hooked on Sweet, Beating Sugar Addiction Now. We will learn how to unhook from sugar in this hour of An Organic Conversation. We're talking with an expert on sugar, a doctor who has made unhooking us from sugar his life's career. And on the phone with me now from the Big Island of Hawaii is Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum, author, internist, and the director of the Practitioners Alliance Network. His website is vitality101.com. Dr. Teitelbaum, do we have you on the line?
Absolutely. It was great to be with you today. Aloha, everybody.
Yeah, aloha. Thank you so much for making time. The topic of sugar addiction and how to unhook ourselves from that is true for the entire year, but we thought it was very timely to have this show right before the holidays when most of us throw caution into the wind. And you are also the perfect guest for that, because it's not about demonizing sugar in that sense, even though we'll talk about the health consequences in just a few minutes, but you're holding sugar in a very specific regard. Can you talk about that?
Absolutely. Right now, the media seems so focused on making people neurotic and afraid of everything. It's like, how do we scare you today to get your attention? And that's toxic. What I recommend, you know, things are here to enjoy. If you live a perfectly healthy life, giving up everything you enjoy and live to be 120, I mean, why bother? You know, it's, you want to keep your pleasures. Pleasure is good. But we're going to teach you today how to enjoy your sweet tooth in a way that's healthy. Because, for example, chocolate is a health food. It really is. I mean, the health benefits, you look at, for example, the prevention of heart disease. Eating a small square of chocolate each day is associated with anywhere from a 10 to 20 times more benefit in terms of preventing heart attack deaths than taking cholesterol medications.
Yeah.
So sweet tooth is good, but if you eat too much, you're going to land up blimping out and increase the risk of diabetes. So you want to do it in moderation and get the best tasting stuff you can.
Well, we have about 3 million listeners in 135 countries, and I think you just got 3 million new fans saying that, because really it is hard. We love certain foods. Sugar is in many products, chocolate is being one of them, not just for the health benefits of chocolate, but it is part of life. To say you should really live a sugar-free life is nearly impossible and actually not even really desirable, right? That's what I'm hearing.
Exactly. And there are some people who have to avoid it all because they get into addictive issues, and it's kind of an all-or-nothing thing for them. But I'll enjoy my sweets. Like, say, I'll have, if I'm out with friends and we have, you know, a chocolate decadent dessert to die for on the menu, instead of getting, you know, the massive mud pie, I'm going to get, you know, one dessert, and we'll share it with the four of us. Because, you know, most of the pleasure comes in the first two bites, and most of the problems come with the whole rest of it.
With bite three, yes.
So you want to have just little bits and savor it with no guilt.
Great. Well, I want to frame your expertise well and honorably, because you are one of the most frequently quoted integrative medical authorities in the world. You have written, I don't know, we're talking about your sixth book, is that right?
Well, actually 10 at this point.
Oh, 10, sure. From Fatigue to Fantastic, Pain-Free 1-2-3, really well-known books. I studied holistic nutrition some 12 years ago, 14 years ago, and you have always been part of that world of people that we looked at to guide us in the world of integrative medicine. Can you have dedicated your life to this, to optimal health. What makes this field such a passion of yours?
Well, I got into it the old-fashioned way. I was in medical school, came down with a nasty viral syndrome that basically left me bedbound, and I had to drop out of medical school. It turned out to be fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue syndrome. And I was homeless, sleeping in parks. I was paying my own way through med school, and I couldn't work anymore. And, you know, park benches, as if the universe put a holistic homeless medical school sign on my park bench. Herbalists came by, naturopaths came by, holistic doctors came by, energy workers came by, all these different folks. And I was able to learn the bits and pieces that I needed to put together and get myself well, go back to med school, thrive. And I've spent the last 40 years teaching people about effective treatment, because here I had something crippling, and the professors, God bless them, they're sweet, they had no idea. And medicine in general has a very limited thing that it can help, but when you use all of the different tools in the toolkit, I'm starting to think that there's very little that can't be effectively treated these days.
Yeah, can you expand on the term integrative medicine? What are you actually applying? What do you look at when you look at a disease or as a person as a whole?
Well, you want to look at several key areas. You want to look at the domain of biochemistry. That includes nutrition, herbals, diet, even medications. You want to look at structural. That includes things like massage, chiropractic, surgery, things along those lines. You want to look at the biophysics, which would be the energy medicine component of it, which is major. There's as much there as there is in all the rest of it. Mm-hmm. And then you want to look at the mind-body issues. And I think the body is kind of a metaphor for what's going on in the psyche. So if, like I said, if you're getting well so you can live a life you hate, one, it's not going to work, and two, why bother? So we're drawing from all of these different fields, and it's like an orchestra and a band. You want to know which instrument or instruments to combine in each person, in each condition, in each setting.
Mm-hmm. And which instrument needs to be fine-tuned maybe a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Go on. And we'll take a look at metabolic syndrome and diabetes for those of you who have that issue or family history with it. And we'll teach you how to combine these approaches so that your sugar can come back down healthily, or you can avoid being the one in two Americans that's currently slated to get diabetes. It's unnecessary.
You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg. Hooked on Sweet, Beating Sugar Addiction Now is our topic in this hour. And I'm speaking with Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum, author, internist, and the director of the Practitioners Alliance Network, who's joining me today from the Big Island in Hawaii. Vitality101.com is his website. And you just gave the perfect lead-in. Your newest book is about beating the sugar addiction. And you just said that it is possible for a pre-diabetic to actually reverse those conditions. And there are a couple of documentaries or movies out there where people radically changed their lifestyle. It seems that just 10, 15 years ago, being a diabetic, that was the diagnosis. And if you had it, that was for life. Are you saying actually through integrative medicine, there's lots you can do, maybe even reduce or reverse it?
Or eliminate it? Yes. And it used to be, it's good to have the context. If you go back 500 years ago, adult onset diabetes was very, very, very rare. It's an unusual process. And now we're looking to one out of two. So this means that it's a very fluid kind of thing. It's not something set in our genetics that we're struck with. And, of course, a nice way to begin is with diet. You don't have to cut out all the sugar. But if you cut out the excess sugar, you cut out the sugar drinks like sodas and even fruit juices, feel free to have all the fruit that you want. Chocolate in moderation. Get the best tasting one that you can. And they even have sugar-free chocolates that are naturally sweetened that are delicious. You just have to look to find the right brand. Russell Stover is good. There's Abdallah Candies has a page of sugar-free chocolates that'll make your toes curl. And there's a lot of really good things you can do. And then you want to increase the fiber in your diet, which, speaking to an organic audience, I'm preaching to the choir on that one.
Yes. What does sugar addiction actually look like? What are the different forms? How would someone know that they are addicted to sugar?
Well, like most addictions, by the time you're asking if I'm an addict, the answer is usually
yes.
So what you want to look at is what's driving your sugar addiction, because in the book, The Complete Guide to Beating Sugar Addiction, there are four main types of sugar addiction. I can give you one question that'll identify each, and then it says, here's how you go ahead and get rid of that so that you don't have the cravings anymore. So the first type would just be people who are tired. They're reaching for sugar as an energy loan shark. And I'll give some very easy things you can do. There's a vitamin powder, and you can get this at the endfatigue.com website. One drink replaces over 35 pills, and I add one scoop of ribose to that, which is actually a healthy sugar. And in the studies, the ribose increases energy an average of 61%. So if you're tired, the energy revitalization system vitamin powder and then one scoop of ribose, you'll find that that will be the best 30 seconds of the day in terms of increasing energy. It's nice to add water and stir it with a fork. Certainly, there's also an energy analysis program. It's a free quiz. You could do it at fatigue.com. That'll analyze your symptoms and even your blood tests if you have the pertinent ones available and say, here's exactly what's causing your fatigue and how to optimize your energy. And it'll take you through the process. So if you're reaching for sugar when you're tired and using it as an energy loan shark, that's type one. The second type are people who have these feed me now or I'll kill you episodes. You get irritable when hungry. Mm-hmm. And if you're not sure if you have that, ask your friends.
They'll tell you.
And that's low adrenal. So there's a nice, simple herbal and nutritional mix called Adrenaplex. And you'll find that you take that one each morning or two a day, and it'll smooth out right out. Especially if you're in marriage counseling, divorce court, a lot of that is from low blood sugar episodes.
Mm-hmm. Some stressful life situations.
Yes, with adrenal fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
The third type are people who have candida or yeast overgrowth. And the way you tell that is if you have nasal congestion, post-nasal drip, or you're clearing your throat a lot like that, or if you have irritable bowel syndrome, gas, bloating, diarrhea, constipation, you treat the candida overgrowth, good probiotic, can be very helpful for that. Cutting back the sugar will help, and you'll find that your sugar cravings will go away. And I use one called colon and bowel probiotic. It's very good. And you take the one a day or one every other day, and it'll help to reset things. And you'll see that the sinusitis and irritable bowel syndrome go away along with the sugar cravings. And then the fourth are people who are around their periods, but around menopause, and they're starting to get anxious or depressed. And for the anxiety, a very nice herb called Anxiocalm will really help settle the anxiety right down, as effective or more effective than Valium medications without side effects. So naturally, there's so much you can do. And when you treat the cause or causes of your sugar addiction, the sugar cravings go away. And then you can enjoy it because you enjoy it, not because you're an addict.
Do you usually see in your patients that they have more than one form, or is it more common that there's one predominant form? And
it depends how early in the process. Mm-hmm. Early in the process, it's one predominant form. But then what happens is that the sugar intake snowballs it. And by the time people have all four, they've usually triggered what's called fibromyalgia, where they have widespread pain or anxiety, or pain or achiness. They have fatigue and they can't sleep. When you see that can't sleep, even though you're wiped out or in pain, you've got the fibromyalgia. And our SHINE protocol has been shown to help 91% of people with an average 90% increased quality of life. So if you have the fibromyalgia, that free energy analysis program at endfatigue.com will really tailor a program to help optimize energy, because, again, the fibromyalgia is an energy crisis. And we do treat people also from all over the world, often by phone consultation. So these are very treatable illnesses. But, yes, one will tend to snowball into the other over time.
I'm speaking with Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum, the author of The Complete Guide to Beating Sugar Addiction. The website is vitality101.com. In our on Hooked on Sweet, Beating Sugar Addiction Now, here on An Organic Conversation, I'm Helge Hellberg. Dr. Teitelbaum, what is the impact on sugar on our health? It is a huge problem. It goes into many, many areas, far beyond weight gain. Can you expand what sugar can do?
Absolutely. And it's not, as you mentioned earlier, it's not any sugar. It's that the processors throw 140 pounds of sugar per person per year, 18% of our calories, into our diet. So it's that overload. In the short term, people get fatigue, anxiety, depression, mood shifts. In the long term, you'll see diabetes, heart disease, stroke, hypertension, increased risk of cancer, autoimmune diseases, and the list goes on and on.
Amazing.
Not to mention, of course, diabetes, which is the bigger.
Do you know how much cancer is part of that role? How much does sugar influence precancerous cells, or is that usually, from your expertise, a different angle?
We don't have a number. Nobody's really done the studies with it. But what we see is that if people have a 12-ounce soda, it suppresses the immune system by 30% for over 3 to 4 hours. So we see marked effects on immune suppression and immune overload. And because the immune system is constantly keeping an eye out to get rid of cancers before they get off the ground, that immune suppression is likely a major contributing factor. We don't know the exact amounts, though.
Yeah. Amazing. Amazing. And this was a perfect pre-interview because we're going to take a quick break, but we want to come back with the recommendations that you have to beat sugar addiction, going through your new book, The Complete Guide to Beating Sugar Addiction, right before the holidays, but really a problem throughout the year or a challenge And
how to make diabetes go away.
Yes, incredible. All that and more when we come back right after the break. Please stay tuned. Again, this is an Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg. Hooked on Sweet, Beating Sugar Addiction Now, our topic. And our special guest is Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum, author, internist, and the director of the Practitioners Alliance Network, vitality101.com, the website. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a minute. This show is brought to you by Bowman College, a leader in the field of holistic nutrition and culinary arts. Become a nutrition consultant or a natural chef at one of their campuses, or learn from home in a self-paced mentored distance learning program. For more information on a degree in holistic nutrition or culinary arts, bowmancollege.org. And Fry Vineyards, America's first organic winery, family-owned and operated. Dedicated to the highest levels of organic and biodynamic farming, Fry never adds synthetic sulfites or other preservatives to their wines. Award-winning wines at frywine.com. That's FREYWINE.com. And we're back here to an organic conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg. Our topic in this hour is how to get unhooked from sugar. Hooked on Sweet, Beating Sugar Addiction Now. That's our main focus. And our guest is no less Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum, author, internist, and director of the Practitioners Alliance Network, one of the most quoted integrative medical authorities in the world. And we are discussing his new book, which is The Complete Guide to Beating Sugar Addiction. So we spoke about the consequences, the impact, the different forms of being addicted, what they might look like, how they might show up. Let's talk about your book. What are your recommendations to beat sugar addiction? What will people find in your new book?
Well, the book will go through how to treat each of the four types of sugar addiction, but also it'll talk about how to treat if you already have diabetes or have borderline diabetes or metabolic syndrome, which is when you have elevated cholesterol, high blood pressure, maybe a bit of a spare tire around the paunch, and either diabetes or prediabetes. So when we do that, we talk about how to go ahead and get rid of that. And if people have if you have diabetes or prediabetes or a friend with it or the high cholesterol, high blood pressure, you may want to write these things down. Some very simple tools that
Great.
Will be very, very helpful
yes.
for you.
Thank you.
Number one would be the herbals. There's an amazing herb called Hintonia latiflora that has been shown to be very helpful. If you have elevated blood sugars, if you take a look at what's called the glycosylated hemoglobin, the main test that your doctor will measure. Most people run 5.4. If you're over 7, they say it's diabetes. And on average, it dropped that test from 7.2 down to 6.4 on average, which is enough to take many people from being diabetic to non-diabetic. So the key is you don't need to treat the diabetes. You just want to go after things that optimize healthy blood sugar and put it back in balance. So the Sucontral D is what it's called, Sucontral D. One twice a day, and it can have a dramatic effect on helping your blood sugar. Another thing would be magnesium, 200 to 300 milligrams a day. I'll give that in the form of a vitamin powder called the Energy Revitalization System. That's what I talked about for energy in general. I recommend everybody be on that. I take that each morning myself. It has, you'll see, a 31% lower risk of metabolic syndrome, in people who have a higher magnesium intake. The herb berberine, 300 to 500 milligrams three times a day, can also be quite effective and quite helpful. And in terms of the medications, the only medication that I use in my adult onset diabetes people would be the metformin. I tease that that should be an honorary herbal because it's very safe, very effective. You just have to be sure you're taking some vitamin B12 with it. So you do those simple things, the Sucantrol D, the magnesium, and maybe even some berberine. You'll find that it has a dramatic impact on helping to restore healthy blood sugar levels. Meanwhile, cutting back the sugar, increasing fiber intake can be very, very helpful. I like people to increase fermented foods too, which for those on an organic diet really lends itself well because that helps restore the normal gut flora and does a very good effect with it. And then the next thing that's very, very important would be to optimize hormonal function with bioidentical hormones. So in men, a lot of the times when you see diabetes, it's because they're entering menopause where they have low testosterone levels, even if the tests are normal. So you want to optimize the testosterone with bioidentical testosterone, which can be very safe and help people bring down cholesterol, help the high blood pressure, also decrease anxiety, depression, things along those lines. In women, too high of a testosterone will cause diabetes. So if you're getting facial hair growth, things like that, then that needs to be addressed. Also, low thyroid. If you're tired, achy, weight gain, cold intolerant, these are symptoms of low thyroid, even if you have technically normal blood tests. The blood tests are insanely unreliable and miss the majority of people who need thyroid hormone. So again, I'll tend to use the natural desiccated thyroid. And optimizing thyroid has been shown to have a dramatic effect on optimizing blood sugar. Thyroid and blood sugar control play very strong interactive roles, but the doctors miss this because what they're being taught about are the most expensive, profitable new medications, even though historically those have turned out to kill more people than they help. But the doctors don't hear about it until the patent on the medications run out.
Sure, yes. With the holidays coming up, you just mentioned some fermented foods. What, just in terms of food intake, what could people in general throughout the year, but especially now with the holidays, be looking out for or avoiding or eating in addition so that they're more full to not then go after the more sugary foods? What kind of fermented foods and what other tips do you have for food intake itself?
Well, I kind of like kimchi. Living in Hawaii, we have a strong Japanese and Asian influence also. And I find the kimchi, sauerkraut, all of those kind of things to be very good. But basically, here's the thing. When people ask, what's the best diet for everyone? The answer is there is no one best diet for everyone. That's why we have such a variety of food on the planet. So how do you tell? You tell by what feels best to you. And there, now you have to distinguish. Is this an addictive craving? And you can tell by how you feel overall. If overall you're feeling pretty healthy and you're not diabetic, you don't have the problems, then your diet is working well for you. And eat what your body is asking for. But it's when you're feeling poorly that it's time to look at the diet more closely and make sure that it's a healthier kind of thing. But whole foods, whole grains, if you have to tolerate the grains well. A lot of people find they do better with a high-protein diet. But again, everybody's different. How does the food feel to you? What's your body asking for? This is how you tailor it to each individual.
Great. As we are walking into kind of peer settings with family, with friends, are there some practical tips to maybe if you go to a party, eat before? Or how much does alcohol have to do with it? What are you suggesting behaviorally to your patients to make it safely through the holidays?
Well, I think Mark Twain put it well. He said, moderation in all things,
including moderation.
Exactly so. So it's okay to give yourself a blowout once in a while, and it's not to worry about it so much. What I recommend for the desserts, though, because during the holidays, people do get a lot of sweets, go to the dessert tray or where they have the desserts. Take small portions. Walk away from the serving dish and then savor it with no guilt. what happens is people stand by the serving dish, put a big clunk on their plate, then they're so guilty while they're inhaling it down, they don't even taste it. No, they didn't even taste it, so they take another big hunk, and it's just, it's counterproductive. No guilt. Enjoy it. Savor it. Just with that small portion in hand, you can walk away from the serving dish easily. You'll find that your psyche is quite okay with that. And always give yourself permission to get more, but just wait 15 minutes. But then the signal from the stomach to the brain that it's full gets there. And you'll find that if you want more, go ahead with it. But beyond that, I wouldn't overly worry. The holidays are time for enjoying. So, you know, go more with the whole foods that are being served, maybe less of the white flowery stuff. Do the desserts in moderation. And alcohol, I think, is fine. You know, people who don't drink at all don't live as long as people who have a drink or two a day. So it's one of those things that listen to your body.
We always try to help people year after year to make it best through the holidays. And there, you know, we have heard recommendations like load up on vegetables because that's never wrong. And that makes you more more full quicker. And you automatically will eat anything else less or fewer quantities. And or don't go hungry to any food event, you know, eat something before. Do you find that helpful, or is that really not that critical?
It depends on the situation. If you find that you get a lot of weight gain and sugar cravings and you can't help yourself, then it's reasonable to go ahead and do that. But I think for most people, it's really okay to simply go and enjoy yourself. I just use some common sense. Like you say, fill your plate first with the veggies and the healthy things before you reach for the other stuff. Save the desserts for the end, during dessert. Have them in moderation. Just keep it simple. Enjoy yourself.
Hooked on Sweet, Beating Sugar Addiction Now is our focus here on An Organic Conversation this week. My name is Helge Hellberg, and I'm speaking with Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum, the author, internist, and director of the Practitioners Alliance Network. He is the author of The Complete Guide to Beating Sugar Addiction, vitality101.com, the website. And he also is the author of several other books, including From Fatigued to Fantastic, Pain Free 1-2-3, and 7 other books.
Helge, can I mention one other
resource
that people find wonderful?
Yes.
There's a free iPhone and Android app. It's called Cures, C-U-R-E-S, capital A-Z. It'll have health conditions from A to Z, and it'll tell you exactly, here's what's going on, short and sweet, and here are the natural things that can help your body to restore balance and health.
Love that. What's that app again?
Cures, A-Z.
Cures from A to Z. Perfect. I do want to ask, though, when we come to tips, to apps, to all your amazing recommendations, if somebody was worried about the holidays coming up and their discipline around things, do you, as an integrative medical professional, recommend peer support, working with a friend or mentor or nutritionist? What if things get tough?
Listen to your body. And again, if you feel, how does it feel to you? If it feels good to get the help of a nutritionist, do so. And just find one that is holistically trained. Most standard nutritionists get their training from Coke, Pepsi, Nestle, and the processed food companies. The organization that trains them is basically those are the main donors, so they control a lot of what they're taught. It's kind of scary when you look at it. So go to a holistic nutritionist, and you'll find that they can be very helpful, because a lot of people just try to restrict things, and then they get an unhealthy, unbalanced, and deficient diet. But by going to a nutritionist who really is doing this themselves, they'll find, and you can find a number of them online, what you'll find is that you can eat healthfully and eat well, but you won't feel deprived, as opposed to getting malnourished because you're just depriving yourself of this and that.
Yeah, and the guilt never helps, even in the healing process. Even if you then don't eat sugar, the guilt will often make you as sick, which is what you're saying, and I love that message, truly. I think the guilt trip, it doesn't really work and has never worked, and it can't be sustained over time anyway.
It's toxic.
Yeah, being in charge and being in control and then choosing more wisely is much more empowering, of course, and successful in the long run. In that regard, we're almost out of time, but I do want to ask you, in your, I don't want to say it, but you said it already, 40 years of experience, which is incredible, an entire life dedicated to the topic of health and holistic health. What are some of the couple stories or one story that really stands out for you where somebody who was in a tough spot health-wise in front of your eyes has completely reformed their lives and improved their health?
We see that all the time in people with fibromyalgia. People who are bedridden, as so many are with this disease, will routinely find that they get their lives back. They feel healthy, they feel well, and then they start to do the things that feel good to themselves instead of doing what made them sick in the first place, which is, you know, what we call shooting on themselves. Their brain keeps saying, should do this, should do that, should do the other. And instead, what they learn to do is to check to see how things feel. Does it feel good to me? Because if it feels good, it's more likely to be authentic. Where if your brain is telling it, it's just a toxic programming that we received as a child. But people with fibromyalgia, we see them going from crippled to healthy, day in and day out. And it's just so much fun to treat that disease.
What's the moment in which somebody decides from shooting on themselves to going to self-love and really checking in how that feels? What is needed to reach that point?
Well, their body makes them so sick that they're not able to even take care of themselves. So the body forces them till they have no choice. Mm-hmm. It's a matter of listening to what the body is saying. Because in fibromyalgia, it's not an outside invader or enemy. It's when people kind of trip a circuit breaker to protect themselves from hurting themselves by spending more energy than they're able to, often because of infections or a host of other conditions. But at the end of the day, they need to learn to say yes to things that feel good and no to things that feel bad, and to ignore the brain when the brain keeps saying, well, you should do this, should do the other. And they come to it often when they have no other choice, because their body has laid them out in bed until they get the message and until they go ahead and do what they need to do physically to repair their system.
Sounds like in that case, a disease can be a blessing as well at the same time, if because of that, somebody gets their life back.
When I had the illness, it really was a blessing. Of course, it was easier to see that at the other end when I was well.
Yes, of course. And it was a blessing for us, too. That's Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum, who has dedicated his entire life to holistic health and to unhooking us, in this case, from sugar. He's also the author of The Complete Guide to Beating Sugar Addiction. And he joined us today from the Big Island of Hawaii. Happy holidays to you. Thank you again for making time. I'm sure this is a particularly busy time for you in your practice, as people are looking maybe with some worry at the holidays. But again, I love your message of enjoy in moderation, listen more than anything, listen to your body, and keep portions small. But when you do, enjoy them fully, mindfully. Is that a good summary?
Absolutely. Follow your bliss.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I look forward to having you back soon.
You're welcome. Aloha, everybody.
Aloha. Thank you, Dr. Teitelbaum. Take care. Again, Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum, vitality101.com, the website, the author of several books, 10 in total, From Fatigue to Fantastic, Pain-Free 1-2-3, Beat Sugar Addiction Now, Real Cause, Real Cure, The Fatigue and Fibromyalgia Solution, and his new book, The Complete Guide to Beating Sugar Addiction. Amazing. This is An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg. Our focus in this hour, Hooked on Sweet, Beating Sugar Addiction Now. And yes, one of the tools for the holidays is to load up your plate with vegetables, and that's what's coming up, our consumer segment of what is in season, how to buy it, how to store it, and what to do with it. Healthy organic produce, fruits and vegetables in just a minute. Stay tuned. Thank you. This is an organic conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg. What's coming up? Our consumer segment of what is in season, how to buy it, how to store it, and what to do with it. Healthy organic produce, fruits and vegetables. The update from the produce dock in San Francisco. Here is what's in season. And with me, as every week, is Earl Herrick, the voice of the San Francisco produce market, with an update of what's going on, how to pick it, how to store it, and what to do with it. Earl, do we have you on the line?
Hello, Helga.
Hello.
Here we are.
Cha.
Yes.
What's happening in the produce world? I know there's no, I mean, you have seasons, but there's no real still stand. What's happening on the dock?
Yeah, it is a little quiet this time of
year
because there's just less new items coming on. So I thought we'd talk about something that doesn't get, we don't touch base on a lot, and that's the mushroom category.
Oh, nice.
And so what I have today is to offer you Jackie, who has been our mushroom buyer for a number of years. She's been with me for over 10 years, and I felt she was really best suited to talk about this topic. So I'm going to hand her off to you right now, all right?
Great. Thank you so much.
Hang on 1 second, Helga.
Sure.
Hello?
Hi, Jackie.
Hi, Helga.
How's it going?
Pretty good.
So you are the mushroom buyer for Earls, among several other things, like cucumbers and tomatoes.
Correct.
Let's talk about mushrooms. It doesn't really belong into the produce understanding for most people, which is fruits and vegetables, but obviously it's a plant, and you have been dealing with that, with organic mushrooms, for quite some time at Earls, right? When did you guys add that?
Actually, we've had mushrooms for quite a while. I've started in Earls in 2014, and 2004, and so we've had the mushroom category, I would say, probably at least for 20 years.
Wow. So, and you've been on it for 12 years already. It seems like mushrooms have become hip again, which is interesting because they don't really are being juiced, and juicing is absolutely hip. But I feel the varieties that you see, of course, beyond Portobello and the classic ones that we know of, are really available in many more retail stores than I've ever seen, from shiitake and maitake and oyster mushrooms and maybe even a lion's mane. And what else do you see is happening with mushrooms?
Well, the thing now is that there's a lot of people who like more different types of mushrooms, because you have, like you said, you have our basics, the white, the browns, but there's new ones, not really new, I would say. People are more interested now in, like, different varieties called trumpets, namikos. There's the brown variety. Some people call it the brown beach or the buna shimeji. There's also the alba, which is the white beach, or the bunafi, and there's also, like, velvet piapini. And these are now available at the regular grocery stores, where previously you probably would have to go to a farmer's market to find.
Wow. So you just heard you categorize mushrooms generally into white and brown. Is that mm-hmm. the common way to do it?
Well, it's common because that's what mostly people see at the store level. It's what you see. You buy mushrooms, either you buy a white mushroom or you buy a cremini, which is the brown mushroom.
And do they behave differently? Is there a difference in, like, storage, or what do you see?
Well, the brown mushroom holds better. The white mushroom tends to discolorate and bruise easier. And so a lot of times when people are buying things, they look at a white mushroom and they look at appearances.
Uh-huh.
So with the white mushroom, once you see it turning brown, because of age or because of handling, people tend not to want it. However, a cremini, because it's already brown, it's already the darker color, you don't really see the defects as much on a brown mushroom.
I know your mushroom cooler at Earls is exact to a tenth or a couple tenths of a degree. When I had a tour at Earls Organic, it was fascinating to know how particular mushrooms are, maybe more so than many, many other produce items. When you take them home from the store, how do you best store different mushrooms at home? Or does it not make a difference much anymore because they have already left your cooler and have been displayed at a retail store? How important is that for mushroom storage?
Well, it's always important to keep the cold chain on anything. And so with the mushrooms, if however way you bought the mushrooms, you should leave it in the original packaging. So a lot of times you'll find mushrooms in tills, and so you keep it in the till with the plastic wrap. You can just leave it there. I wouldn't suggest you put it into the drawer or the crisper because you don't want humidity to, because what happens is it'll just get slimy.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you, like, let's say if you buy a bulk mushroom, you just keep it in the paper bag, or if you keep it in the plastic bag, you can open it up, but don't seal it tight. You don't want to let it breathe. And so with when you buy it in a till, the plastic wrap is already breathable, so you can just keep it as it is, and I would just put it on the shelf in your refrigerator. Usually you keep mushrooms between, I'd say, 34 degrees to 36 degrees.
So the crisper is the best place?
For myself, I actually do not keep in the crisper. I just keep it on the shelf,
uh-huh.
on any of the shelves in the refrigerator, just because the crisper is, you just gather humidity in
oh,
there.
Oh, gotcha.
And that's
what you do not want. Perfect. And when you buy them already wrapped, not as loose, but as in a little clamshell or something, do you poke holes into the plastic wrapper, or do they usually don't have enough moisture to be an issue?
No, sometimes, what they do is already have holes in there, but a lot of times right now with the new technology, a lot of the plastic wrap that we see is actually, they already have little holes in there that you can't see, and it's a breathable plastic.
Oh, wow.
So that it lets out air, and it can let out air and moisture as well, and so it would be best to keep it in the original packaging until use.
Oh, cool. What's your favorite? We're almost out of time, but I do want to hear, of course, you being a mushroom buyer for 12 plus years, what's your favorite variety and why, and what do you do with them?
My favorite right now is the trumpets. I love them because they're very versatile. You can stir fry it, you can grill it, you can just cut it up and put it in soups if you wanted to, and it just takes on the flavor of whatever liquid or sauce or seasoning that you cook it in.
When we talk about storage and use, do you differentiate between lion's mane, shiitake, oyster mushrooms? Do all mushrooms basically behave the same way, both in storage as well as how you would prepare them or cook them?
Well, there are some mushrooms that are more fragile than others. Lion's mane is one of those that are more fragile. Those are ones where once you buy it, you should probably use it within a few days. The portobellas, the criminis, and the whites are more hardier mushrooms that they tend to hold better. And so a lot of the varietal ones tend to, I would say they tend to go bad quicker.
Uh-huh.
So I would pay more attention to those. You don't want to keep them right next to where the airflow comes out. Too chilled.
Right. How do you know if a mushroom is no longer good? Can you smell it, or do you go by appearance?
Oh, you can definitely smell it. It does give off a very pungent smell. Also, if once they get very slimy, I would say you should toss them.
Uh-huh. So if you see moisture and or smell kind of an unpleasant smell, not the earthy mushroom smell,
no,
but
not the earthy, yeah. It's a different smell.
Yeah. And you would always cook mushrooms, right? That's the golden rule?
That is the golden rule. However, I know that with white mushrooms, some people do eat them raw. But for me, I would cook them, especially a lot of especially the varietal ones. Not the criminis or the whites, but definitely like the trumpets, navajos, the browns, albas. Those you would definitely need to cook.
Wonderful. Great. Mushroom season, and they are so good for you. They boost your immune system, packed with nutrients and minerals, of course. As a buyer, do you eat mushrooms at a regular rate, or do you, at this point, because you deal with them every day, you kind of stay away from them culinarily speaking?
Actually, I love mushrooms, so I don't mind eating them every day.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for that update. Mushroom is where it's at, and that's Jackie Grindle, the mushroom buyer for Earls Organic.
Thank you, Hogan.
Thank you. Pleasure to have you. Take care. Wow, that was a packed hour. What's in season? The update from the produce doc from Earl Herrick. Again, that's earlsorganic.com, the website for all kinds of produce tips and photos and varieties and recipes. Amazing resource, earlsorganic.com. And also Hooked on Sweet Beating Sugar Addiction Now, our main focus in this hour with Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum, the author of 10 books, and internist and director of Practitioners Alliance Network, Vitality 101, his website. Happy holidays to all of you wonderful listeners. I'm Helge Hellberg. This is An Organic Conversation, and we'll be back with another episode soon. Take good care. An Organic Conversation is a proud production of the Organic Media Network. Associate producer, Kristen Ponger. The show is made possible through the fantastic support of our underwriters, Bowman College, a leader in the field of holistic nutrition and culinary arts. Become a nutrition consultant or a natural chef at one of their campuses or learn from home in a self-paced mentored distance learning program. For more information on a degree in holistic nutrition or the culinary arts, bowmancollege.org. Thank you also to Earls Organic Produce, a national distributor of organic fruits and vegetables that has been sourcing solely organic produce for over 20 years. From grocery store to company cafeteria to caterers and personal chefs, anyone can buy from Earls Organic. Certified organic produce at earlsorganic.com. And Fry Vineyards, America's first organic winery, family-owned and operated. Dedicated to the highest levels of organic and biodynamic farming, Fry never adds synthetic sulfites or other preservatives to their wines. Award-winning wines at frywine.com. That's FREYWINE.com. And Batiste Rum, the first eco-positive rum of the Caribbean. Ask for Batiste Rum at Trader Joe's and Whole Foods and other fine retailers. More information at batisterum.com. That's BATISTERHUM.com. For more episodes and our podcasts, go to anorganicconversation.com, and of course you can follow us on facebook.com/anorganicconversation. Our Twitter handle is talkorganic, and we're also on Instagram. I'm Helge Hellberg, host and executive producer of An Organic Conversation. And we'll be back with another episode next week. Thank you so much for listening.